I'm going to be in the book of Isaiah, if you want to turn in your Bible there. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Just really felt led to share this one particular verse with you. It's been a help to me in recent days, and I hope it'll be a help to you as we look at it tonight. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, I always ask the students when we turn into the scriptures, the Old Testament, New Testament. So you got a 50-50 shot of getting it right. So Old Testament, Isaiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom. By this time, Israel had been severed in two, and they had a northern and a southern kingdom, and Judah was the name of the southern kingdom, and Isaiah was God's prophet to that tribe of Judah there in the southern kingdom. And the name Isaiah is translated as salvation of Jehovah. Salvation of Jehovah is kind of what Isaiah's name means. And Jehovah, we'll talk about in a minute, that's kind of the Latin word that we came up with, you know, when Moses was at the burning bush and he had that meeting with God, and Moses says, well, who am I going to tell the people has sent me? And God tells them, say, I am, has sent you. And that's kind of where we get that word Jehovah. So when you see that, that is the Lord, the I am that I am. And so the salvation from the I am is Isaiah's kind of namesake. So in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, let's just read these four verses. This is a song. You'll see there in the first verse that it's a song that's going to be sung, and Isaiah has been given the lyrics to this song. So in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. And here are the lyrics. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for the walls and the bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, the I am, is everlasting strength. Well, verse 3 is the verse that I really want to look at tonight and just kind of walk through together, look at some of the thoughts that are here. This verse has come to mind many times over the last few months. Our family has experienced a lot of change, different things going on, some good, some bad. When I would feel overwhelmed, this verse came to mind. He keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on the Lord. Lord, help me keep my mind fixed on you, not on circumstance and situation. And I didn't know where that verse was. The Lord brought it to my memory. And I said, yes, that's, thank you, Lord. That's the prayer that I need to pray. Lord, keep my mind fixed on you. And then as I go back, you know, a little bit later, you know, I really need to look where that is. Let me kind of get the context of this verse here. And sure enough, I go and, you know, Google, hey, where does that, what's that verse that says? And it's in Isaiah 26. And man, when you look at the rest of this chapter, It is rich. It's not just for my little petty, hey, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed here. This speaks to the nation of Israel. This speaks to the Christ that is soon to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can rest in that fact. So, you know, when you kind of look at that verse in context, my goodness, yes, I can have perfect peace in my Lord, because look what he has done and what he's going to do. So let's look at that. Let's kind of take it verse by verse. Look at verse 1 with me. In that day. Now remember, I told you Isaiah is a prophet. So the day that he is talking about is the day of the Lord. Like the day when Jesus comes, the end, when he comes and ends the tribulation period, he will come, the beast and the false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire that will end the tribulation era. Jesus himself will come and rule and reign for 1,000 years with his people. That is that day. And Isaiah says, on that day, when that happens, this will be one of the songs that will be sung. And we're going to see that. And that's where that peace comes from, because the Lord is here. The I am, the I am that I am, is on his throne in the earth, ruling and reigning righteously, perfectly, as only he can do. Now look at verse 2. Well, I tell you what, go back to verse 1. I'm sorry. So that's the day, and here's the song. It says, we have a strong city. Salvation. God uses the salvation that is in Christ as the walls, as the bulwarks or the ramparts, as the fortification. Our safety is in the salvation that is in Christ. There's no better wall than the salvation that is Christ Jesus. And it is a strong city, a city of salvation. And then in verse 2, he tells them, look, you can come in. Open the gates to the one who believes, to the righteous. They can enter into that salvation city. And you start reading this, and yes, I have peace in that. I know it may get bad here, and evil may abound, the wicked may prosper, but it does not matter, because Christ is in control. I have hope. I have trust. It's not it's confidence in the power and the authority and the purpose that Christ will complete. And in verse 3, this is again that verse that we see, and we'll look at it a little bit closer, but I wanted to show you perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Both of those words are the same word. Don't know a lot of Hebrew words, but that one is shalom. I know that one. So if you read it, thou will keep him in shalom, shalom. It's complete peace. Peace covered on all sides. Nothing left to chance. It is peace, peace that is kept by the one whose mind is stayed on the I am, the Lord Jehovah, because he trusts in thee. And then verse 4, he just kind of reiterates that. Trust, you trust now, not in yourself, trust in the Lord. Trust in the I am. He is everlasting strength. Why would we trust in any other? So it's kind of, again, just looking through that. And if you continue on and read the rest of the chapter, I encourage you to, when you get a moment, you read this chapter, you see Isaiah goes on and he outlines the power of the Lord, the redemption, the judgment that Jehovah is going to bring to the earth, the kingdom that is coming. And remember, the hearers of this prophecy didn't have revelation at this time. They didn't know what you and I know. God's word had not been completed yet. So when they read this, it's just kind of a veil. But you and I can read this, and then we can turn over to Revelation 19 and 20 and see it spelled out. Yes, that is what's going to happen. Look, God is going to redeem his people. They're going to look on the one whom they pierced, and God is going to open up a river of repentance so that they will look on him and believe and enter into that peace themselves that you and I as his church have right now. It's amazing to think about that. But let's look at verse 3. That is something that God really helped me with to get my mind focused on him. And I just wanted to share it with you and pray that the Lord will do the same for you. And he will direct our thoughts and keep us in a right path toward him. So in verse 3, there are three verbs there. There's keep and stayed and trust. So let's look at keep. If you kind of look at the what that word means, it has the idea to preserve something or to guard something. So God will guard the one He will preserve the one in peace, peace, remember, surrounding peace, whose mind is fixed on him. Beautiful verse in John, I want to share with you. In John 16, get this idea of being guarded by the Lord and the relationship that the believer has with the Father. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's explaining to them the relationship that they'll now have because Jesus is going to bring about justification on the cross. And he says, at that day, and that's not the day of the Lord. This day that Jesus is talking about, this is when he opens up that new and living way. He's going to be crucified on the cross. And Jesus says, when that happens, at that day, you'll ask in my name. And we see that. Jesus teaching the disciples to pray, you know, pray in my name, Jesus' name. This is beautiful, though. He says, you'll ask in my name. I say not unto you that I'll pray the Father for you. It's not, hey, you pray to me and then I'll pray to the Father. No, no, no. The Catholics got it wrong there. Jesus has opened up a new and living way. We have access. Jesus is our access. He is our intercession. His blood has covered our sins so that we can go boldly before the throne of grace to receive help and mercy in the time of need. So Jesus says, you'll ask in my name because he's our authority. And I don't say that I will pray to the Father for you. The verses continue in verse 27. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world, and I'll go back to the Father. And so he's steadily teaching the disciples. This is the night that he is going to be betrayed. Judas has left to go get the guards, and they haven't left for the garden yet, but all that is taking place while Jesus is teaching the 11 here. And if you skip down a few verses to verse 33, this is why I wanted to show you why he's teaching this, that look, you now have access to the Father through my sacrifice. And he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus, ye might have peace. And he's not talking about getting rid of everything where you never have any trouble. We know that's not right. Because he tells us here, in the world you will have tribulation. So when it talked about guarding and preserving us, he's not talking about taking us out of situations. No, he's talking about giving us protection with that surrounding peace in the midst of the tribulation. Because he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Peace, peace. I have overcome the world. That's the promise that we have. That's what it means to be guarded, to be kept by the Lord. And then back in our verse in Isaiah, we see that he keeps the one in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Stayed. We don't use that word that way very often. But this is the idea that the mind is maintained, the mind is sustained, our thinking leans on the Lord. That's what it means to have your mind stayed on the Lord. And you think about when we get overwhelmed, when we get discouraged, whatever it might be, worried, it's because our mind is focused on things that are not keeping us sustained in Christ. There's an acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And that's how fear will work on us sometimes. We see a situation and it looks like that's just out of control, but it's false evidence. It appears real, but it's not. Turn instead and let your mind be sustained and maintain and lean on the knowledge that is in Christ. That's what Scripture tells us to do. We just forget it sometimes. What does it say? We don't lean on what? Our own understanding. We can be fooled. We can be tricked. We don't lean on our own understanding. The Lord Jehovah upholds us. He's the one that's our sustainer. Our mind has to be the mind of Christ. Look at Philippians 4:7 with me on the screen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that sounds like peace to me, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When our minds are focused and sustained on Christ, that's the one that's in that perfect peace, that's guarded by the Lord, no matter what's going on around us. And then the last word to look at in that Isaiah 26:3, he keeps us, he guards us in perfect peace. When our mind is sustained and leans on the Lord, because the reason he does that is because that person trusts in the Lord Jehovah. He trusts in thee. And you think about trust, it's faith. No, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. My faith is in Christ. It's not in me. It's not in the world. It's not in any other power or authority. It's in Christ. I have the confidence and the belief, the faith, that what Jesus has spoke is true, that the ability to complete the task that the Father has given Christ, Jesus has it. Remember, it said in verse 4 of Isaiah that he is an everlasting strength. He's the rock of my salvation. That's trust. I'm not hoping on something that I need to do. I'm trusting in Christ. That's part of what's needed. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You can't keep your mind on thee if you don't trust in him. How are you going to do that? You can't do that. There has to be faith. Jesus is our faith. He is our peace. Romans 5:1 describes it that way. Jesus is our peace. Look at that. Therefore, being justified by faith, that trust, we have what? Peace with God. Jesus is our peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, our mind can be focused on him. We can fix our heart, fix our desires, everything will fall under the authority of Christ. We've been justified by faith through Christ. That keeps us in that perfect peace. There is a peace that's of the world. It's fake. It's not real. It's false evidence that appears real. It can't be sustained because it's not based on an eternal power, an eternal strength that is God. The world's peace will lead us astray. In 1 John, it tells us that the love of the world puts us at enmity with God. The world is passing away and everything in it is passing away, including whatever peace we might think can be found in it. We have to be sure that our minds, our hearts are stayed and kept by the power and the peace of Jesus Christ, and it's not our own. Jesus instructed his disciples, again, on the night that he was betrayed. There's about five chapters there, and then we looked in chapter 16, but let me back up to chapter 14 in John. He's still, this is the night that he's going to be betrayed. And he's taught them so many different things. And then he tells them these things, talk about all the different, you know, a new commandment I give you, love one another. I mean, there's so many different teachings that Jesus is laying out for his disciples because he's about to send them out into the world to proclaim the gospel. And so he tells them, look, these things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said to you. So he's promising them the third person of the Trinity is going to be coming, the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is going to be given so that you can carry out the gospel and carry it to the world. The Great Commission. And then he tells them, peace I leave with you. My peace. Whose peace? Jesus. Not the world's. Not Keith's. Jesus. The Christ. The Savior. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, if he had not said, my peace I give to you, I would say, well, wait a minute. My heart is going to be troubled. I mean, I'm surrounded by the world, the evil. My flesh is evil. How can I not be troubled? Well, if I'm just counting on myself, I have no hope. But because I have Jesus' peace, the peace, all-encompassing, perfect peace, when it says, let not your heart be troubled, he means it. He says it twice in that chapter. He means, because, who did he leave with us? The Comforter. What a wonderful name to describe what the peace of God does. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, I leave with you. He's going to bring to your remembrance. Thank you, God, that you brought to remembrance Scripture. I didn't know where it was, but you used that to put me back in a right relationship and get my mind right. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He strengthens us. He guides us with the light of the Word of Christ. And then Jesus says, I give you my peace, not like the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because he keeps the one in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. That's how it happens. That's how it works. There is no hope for us. There's no hope that we can have peace apart from Christ. Again, the world can manufacture it, but we see in Scripture it's counterfeit. It doesn't sustain. It doesn't bring true peace. Someone said, when you see peace in the world, all it is a momentary cease in the fighting so that everybody can reload. It's not true peace. But the peace of God, the peace of Christ is given to us as a gift. And all we must do is trust. We have that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our minds cannot be stayed on him without the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Because that justification has to come through Christ. And that can only come through faith, believing in Christ. Let me close this with one last verse. Guys, if y'all would come, I want to close with a song tonight. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because the Comforter has not come, but only to the one who believes. They don't have the Spirit of God in them to understand. The natural man, we are all like that. Without the Spirit of God in us, we cannot know the peace of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. You think about it. We read these verses and we think about how in the world can I put my trust and faith in God, and then all of a sudden my mind gets right and my heart gets right, and I'm not. It's not that I'm oblivious to what's going on around me, but I'm not worried about it. It's because the Holy Spirit working in me has given me the power, has given me the knowledge of the Scriptures to have faith and trust in God. And that produces peace. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that he's given to us. It's the peace of God. But the natural man is foolishness to them, and he can't know it because they are spiritually discerned. So I leave you with this. you find yourself, like I do sometimes, maybe just overwhelmed and trying to do things in my own strength, to understand it's not by might or strength or sword, but it's through the power of God. That is where our security lies, our peace, our hope lies. And to understand, unless the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we can't enter into that rest. We can't enter into that peace, because it's the peace of Jesus that we own, that we have, and that's only to those who believe. So I wanted to sing this song with you to kind of close with us tonight. Let me pray for us, and then we'll stand and sing this closing hymn. It says, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace that flows down from the Father above. Jesus, I thank you so much that we can come together in your name to go before our Heavenly Father, who has given us every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, on and on. You've given us all that we need, supplied our need according to your riches and glory. God, I just thank you that we can have this time together to look into your word, that your scripture will stay with us, your Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance the things that we hear and have studied tonight. God, I pray for anyone here that is just struggling, that is overwhelmed by the trials of life. God, that you would help them run to you. You are a strong tower. The righteous will run to you and can be saved. God, I pray that you would just use your word to accomplish your will. It's in the name of Jesus we pray it. Amen. Amen. And let's stand together and sing this chorus a couple of times, all right?
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, peace, peace, it's wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Thank you guys again for coming tonight. I appreciate it so much. We'll see you guys Sunday morning. Have a good night.